Hello, Jacksonville. It is a Monday, a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today, as everyone else in this building, it feels like, has made the trip over to London, and they leave me behind. I am joined today in studio by Paul Spicer, former defensive end for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Jessica Blaylock as well. We will go and take a look at the Cincinnati game yesterday, try to take a look at the big picture for this Jaguar team as they fall to 1-8 with that 33-23 loss against the Bengals. Welcome in, everyone. I know a lot of Bortles talk. It almost felt nostalgic. You know, listening to that open today and that play, you can still see it in your head where it looks like he's going to get sacked. He spins out of it, makes a throw to the fullback there on the sideline. We haven't seen one of those here in a couple weeks from Blake Bortles. He's been really struggling here of late.
He absolutely has. And it's everybody, you know, we keep talking about it. We keep talking about the rookies and the youth of this team, you know, and the mistakes that got to come with it. You know, I guess I don't go overboard so much with it because, you know, I had the opportunity. I was blessed with the opportunity to play in this league for a long time. And I had to go through the growing pains of being around rookie quarterbacks, such as David Garrard, which when people hear Garrard's name, you don't think of rookie quarterback. But I was here as a player when David was a rookie, as well as Byron Leftwich. And, you know, I watched those guys go through their maturation process of, you know, becoming a vet and the mistakes that come with that. And right now, that's what Blake is going through. And it's heartening because of last year, which everybody still remembers, you know, the season of last year. And then, you know, before then, I mean, you know, 2-14 and then, you know, 4-12. And then now, right now, we're 1-8. It's rough.
It's really rough. And I keep saying that it's year two for these guys. It's year 5, 6, 7, 8 for the fans of the Jacksonville Jaguars watching this team struggle the way they are. A lot to get into with the Bortles performance. There's been just diametrically opposed views on how Bortles performed in that game yesterday. Before we get into any of that, though, it was a Halloween weekend. Halloween on Friday. How'd everyone do? Did you take the kids out, Paul? Or?
Oh, man. You know what? My daughter, she turned 2 this weekend on Sunday. And, you know, her school over at Primrose Academy, they had a trunk or treat. So my wife was out of town, and I had, you know, we brought a bunch of stuff to decorate the trunk. I've never done this before, so I'm in there with, you know, if anybody out there have ever used the cotton, I don't know what you want to call it.
Oh, the fake webs?
The fake webs.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, right now my trunk and my, you know, my UConn is still full with fake webs because I don't know how to get it out. I'm back there pulling this stuff all over the place, putting up spiders. I got a little stick. Skeleton man back there. I'm hanging up. I got pumpkins and stuff in the back of the trunk. Had candy set out. So it was great. I mean, to have the kids come out of her school, and she was a bumblebee. She was a little bumblebee had the little glitter and the little red, I mean, the yellow and black stockings on. So she, you know, she was very cute. So then from there, our church, we had a little something, a little something after, around 6 o'clock, we all went to, and it was good. We had a great Halloween. Did a lot of candy. How about you, Jess? Did you get out there?
No, I completely screwed up Halloween.
Oh no!
I had all of these grand plans to dress up and go to a Halloween party and really enjoy the fact that Halloween fell on a Friday, and mm-hmm. I didn't have to get up early the next day. I ended up having, I want to say, like a 12-13 hour day. Started at about 6:30 in the morning. We got off on the Frangie show at 7 o'clock. I went over to my parents' house, had dinner. We watched a scary movie that I can quote handle because I don't do well with scary movies.
We watched
Pet Sematary.
Okay.
Oh. And I went home and was like, okay, rally, come on, put on a costume, go to a Halloween party. No, I've just went to bed.
You just went to bed? Well,
you didn't pass out any candy?
No, I didn't pass out any candy. I don't really live. I live in a condo, so it's not really a good setup for having trick-or-treaters because I would love to pass out candy. I'd also like to just buy candy for the purpose of passing it out and then not give out any and eat it all myself.
I know you're a bit of a chocolate fiend.
But, yeah, so it didn't really work out well. I will say on Saturday, Florida, Georgia. Mm. I made up for it, though. Mm. I had a very good time Saturday.
I had candy to pass out. Kids today are lazy. Really lazy.
Really?
They don't even come out and trick-or-treat like we did. I mean, when I grew up, look, I mean, I stopped trick-or-treating when I was around 16. Okay, but I remember going out. Sometimes we had costumes, sometimes we didn't. And we just took our mom's makeup and threw some something on our face. And we went out there with a, that's just back in the day, with brown paper bag.
So, yeah, I think my lamest costume ever, I had a friend who had a birthday on Halloween, so we'd always go to her house to celebrate her birthday. Then we'd go trick-or-treating in her neighborhood. I think when I was 16 or 17, I was a dead surfer, so I just wore like a tank top and board shorts and put some lighter colored makeup on my face with like some eyeshadow underneath my eyes. I mean, come on, that took
zombie.
Took no effort whatsoever. Yeah, see, I did zombies before it
That's
was
right.
cool to do
I heard
zombies.
That. Wait a minute, I mean, you know, Jessica, you and I were talking about our Halloween experiences.
Yeah,
what's up?
Look, I do the high school scoreboard show on Friday night, so I didn't really get to do anything on Friday. I went to dinner with some friends before I went and did the show, but, they were going to a party that I couldn't go to, because I had to go to work. So Saturday is when I did my Halloween thing with our friends, and believe it or not, Paul, Halloween with me is usually a movie thing.
I can imagine.
I'm kind of obsessed with the movie thing, and actually went over to a friend's house. We had, you know, 8-9 people over. We played a bunch of drinking games and watched scary movies. We watched Oculus, which I had not seen, and I'll probably talk a little bit more about that tonight on
okay.
Time Out. And we watched The Exorcist.
Oh, and, no.
You know what?
Nope.
I did get a chance to watch The Exorcist.
I still enjoy the heck out of that movie.
Yeah.
Any movie that I will probably have to sleep with my lights on that night, that is what falls in my movie category as can't handle it.
Well, we watched my Blu-ray copy of it, of the extended edition with all the bells and whistles.
Oh, Exorcist, no. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, no. Nightmare on Elm Street, no. Friday the 13th, no.
Poltergeist?
Halloween, no. Poltergeist, hell no. Clown? Oh my God.
Oh, the clown under the bed is terrifying.
Oh, my goodness.
Of every moment in that movie, honestly, that is the one that traumatized me right as a child. Like, none of that got me as much as that kid under that bed.
Outside of my house.
That's right.
Oh, man, hey. Yeah, Poltergeist was scary. I mean, hey, that movie, boy, you did not want to. That TV had any static, you had a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you were like, whoa, wait a minute.
Those are the best movies, when something happens that's so mundane in real life, and you're like, wait a minute. It's like after you see the birds, and you see a bunch of birds on a wire, you're like, what are they thinking about up there?
Now, I know I'm a little older than you guys, but, I mean, you know, back then, Poltergeist came out, there was no cable. You know, I know I didn't have cable.
Right.
And, I mean, that's what I'm saying, that static? It had a lot of static, depending on what channel you were turning to, buddy. You had a lot of static.
I don't doubt it.
We had them two knobs, you had to get that second one. They had all the numbers on it, but you had to keep it on that U.
Oh, I remember. I had one of those in my room growing up. I had a black and white.
We had the coat hanger, man. Get that coat hanger just right. We're going to get them local channels.
Well, I'm glad everybody enjoyed their Halloween. It was a kind of a trick-or-treat day for Blake Bortles yesterday, guys, in that he had a couple times where he throws the ball up to Allen Hurns. Hurns goes up and makes a play for him. Honestly, that second one that he threw. The first one, I've seen a lot of quarterbacks in the league get away with that first one. That's putting a ball up. It's a 50-50 ball. You're giving your guy a chance to go make a play, and Hurns made a play. Mm-hmm. I give him credit for that one. The second one, when he let it go, I was like, oh, it's a pick. Like, as soon as he let it go, I was like, oh, that's a pick. And Hurns made a great play, adjustment on the ball in the air, cuts underneath the cornerback, gets that ball, comes down in the end zone. Bortles throws the pick late that everyone's been talking about. He said he was trying to throw it out of the back of the end zone, which I'm still just throwing in the fourth row, bro. Hey. Like, if that's the idea, then you throw it out the back of the end zone. If they want to throw a flag on you, so be it.
Yeah, Bortles was throwing some treats. But Hurns made him tricks. I mean, you know, and he played very well. I mean, for Hurns, he has not played well as of late. But you know what? Yesterday, he went out there determined, and the man made some great, spectacular plays by going up strong. And it's good to see a rookie doing that. So, because all you can think of is, okay, what's to come? Because all these young guys on this team, we seeing them make plays. We see Bortles making plays. We see Hurns making plays. We see Allen Robinson making plays. We see all these young guys starting to make plays, and we're like, all right, what's next? What's next? I'm waiting for those guys to really be all on the same page, one game, and I don't know who it might be. It might be the Dallas Cowboys of this week as they are headed to London right now, and all of them click at the same time. Oh, my God. It might be just a beat down, whoever it may be.
sometimes your quarterback makes your receivers look good. Sometimes your receivers make your quarterback look
Absolutely.
Good. Sometimes rookies make mistakes. Sometimes rookies make plays. And I think we saw that yesterday.
You wanted to say sometimes rookies make coaches look bad?
No. But I think the thing with Hurns is he made some pretty good plays early on.
Yeah.
And we kind of forgot about the fact that he is an undrafted rookie.
Undrafted
rookie.
To all undrafted rookies out there.
That's right, Paul.
Paul Spicer, baby. 1998.
Yesterday, Hurns made up for some probably bad throws for Bortles. When it comes to Bortles, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. He had a rough training camp, but in training camp, he looked very average. I mean, we talked about, okay, it's going to be good for him to sit for a while because watching him in training camp, he struggled with the deep ball, wobbly throws. You could tell his footwork needed some fixing, and the coaches talked
his mechanics was
right.
His off.
Mechanics were just a little off. Then he comes in during the preseason, and you're like, "Whoa, wait a second!
Where did this
come from?" So you set that bar kind of high, very similar with Hurns when he made plays in the very beginning, and you kind of forget that he wasn't drafted. Now with Blake, it's completely different because he's this franchise's third overall pick, but this is the first time we've really seen Blake struggle and maybe, quote, look like a rookie. So I think sometimes it makes those mistakes a little bit harder to take because we haven't seen him struggle so far. But I think we do have to remember that Blake is going to go through some rough periods. And I think we're finally watching him go through one of those.
Well, and I think really watching that game yesterday and having a chance to, you know, a night to absorb it, think about what I saw from Blake Bortles, I agree with you, Paul. You said yesterday on the post game when we were doing that you would have given him about a C-, and I think that's about where I fall with Blake Bortles in that game, too. He had the one pick he threw, which was just inexcusable. It's to nowhere, and nobody has a chance to make a play on that ball except the four Bengals defenders that are standing there. He had three other balls that hit defenders' hands that they dropped in that game. And really, when I go back to what Blake was doing when he came in against Indianapolis, that game where they go on the road against San Diego, even the game against Pittsburgh, his first home game here, he threw that pick six, but Blake was decisive. He was anticipating things from his wide receivers, and it feels like for the last two or three weeks, a lot of that is gone. And it's almost like the game was going pretty slow for him early on. He was very quick with what he wanted to do. And for the last 2 weeks, I'm like, why is he double clutching that ball? Let it go. Let it go. And you're seeing a lot more of that from Blake Bortles. I don't know if it's him hitting a rookie wall with the guy who got thrown in really early, if he just needs a bye week to reset that button and just have 2 weeks to say, look, he did have a lot of problems mechanically. When he came in, he talked constantly about, I'm working on my feet, I'm working on my feet, I'm working on my feet. And it feels like that footwork is letting him down for the last two or three weeks, and you're seeing a lot more wobble on that ball than we did for his first couple of starts.
Well, you know what, guys, real quick, I mean, and I'm this is Monday, which is never a good day for anybody. So I'm gonna try to stay positive on this because I want to take you guys down memory lane.
Bring it on.
Just a few years ago, when we drafted a young man that was the youngest rookie drafted in the first round by the name of Blaine Gabbert.
Mm. Okay. You said his name.
He and who must not be named.
He okay. Well, let's just go.
BG11. We go with BG11.
BG11 here. Okay. So I didn't know that, but now I do. So BG11, and all the hype that surrounded him. Everybody saw him at Missouri, which he was just okay. You know, nothing spectacular or anything like that. But, you know, hey, we picked him. Big, strong kid. You know.
Big, strong arm.
Looked like sunshine. Or remember the
right.
Titans? So here he comes. Just as athletic as Blake. Okay? But when they put him out there, what happened? I mean, he saw the rush. His eyes was never downfield. He was always looking at the rush. Even though the O-line wasn't as great, the O-line with Blake, Blake is not great. But you know what? Blake is out there. His eyes are downfield.
No doubt.
He's out there trying to make things happen. And unfortunately, he's trying to make things happen. And sometimes it goes his way. And as of late, they have not been going his way because he has these pick sixes and he has these interceptions. So I would say it is just think not too long ago. When my man BG11 was out there, it was real bad. I mean, it was like, are you kidding? This guy, you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, now we got this young man that we see. He's already in his rookie year is ahead of BG11 was in his third year. I mean, because he was still doing the same thing.
Right.
Way ahead, Paul.
So I'm like, okay, right now I'm going to take the benefit of the doubt here with my man Blake and say, you can see him. He's trying to work on things. And one thing about a player, all right, and I know this for a fact because, you know, I played 11 years, is that if you're out there and you're thinking, you're not making plays. You're not playing as well as you can play. When you out there, you just know it. You know, okay, you see what the defense
got
to
be instinctual.
It got to be instinctual.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And so when he has that, we see the plays. And not just Blake Bortles, Allen Hurns, all those guys. When they just go play and not think about, okay, I got to run 10 yards and I got to stick with my left foot to make this out to the right. I mean, when I'm not thinking about that, when those guys are not thinking about those things and they can just play ball, hey, these guys can make some plays. So I think as this season goes, as he learns, as he's trying to, as we say, his mechanics and things like that, because right now he might be dropping back thinking about, I need to hit my fifth step and then let the ball go. Oh, I didn't good. I went to the sixth step, so now I'm double clutching, and now I got to find a receiver. Right now it's just a growing process. And the great thing about it is I see more, like everybody just agreed with me, we see more to him now, which is a very short time, than we saw out of BG-11 in 3 years.
No, there's absolutely no doubt about it. And maybe it's as simple as that. He's starting to think a little bit, and it wasn't something that felt like he was doing early on. But the process looks like it's slowed down for whatever reason for Blake Bortles in the last 3 weeks. A lot more to get into when it comes to that game yesterday for the Jags against the Cincinnati Bengals. There were other guys on the field besides Blake Bortles, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll try to talk about some of the positives coming out of yesterday's game. Want to get to the defense as well and their performance. As, look, this is week number 5 where I think they've played pretty well, but we'll talk about that a little bit today. Fan feedback spotlight, the Tom Bush family of dealerships. They asked Jaguar fans, what drives you today? The question via Twitter or Facebook, if you want to go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page, is where, if anywhere, do you believe the Jags got better in that game yesterday against the Cincinnati Bengals? You can interact with us via Twitter at CincinnXLFatTony, at CoachSpicer95, at Jess Blaylock, and we will answer those questions a little bit later on. Send in your answers. We'll give away a Jaguars Today t-shirt or two a little bit later on. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, he's over in London. He will rejoin us tomorrow as we'll go live from London with Jaguars Today tomorrow morning here on 1010XL. For now, though, we continue on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday reacting to what we saw yesterday from the Jags and their loss against the Bengals here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. A Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today. A little Rage Against the Machine to get things started here on a Monday. I'm Fat Tony, Jessica Blaylock, Paul Spicer alongside, and I hear that we got a guest on the phone lines from all the way across the ocean blue. Mike, Mr. Dempsey joining
us.
What's up, Mike?
Greetings. Hello, Governor.
I was about to say, where's your accent?
Let him keep doing it. It'll turn Australian here in a second. Go, buddy.
Right here. Right here. We're just out at the practice field, and they got one field, basically, to practice on. And just kind of had a meet and greet for about 100 or so, I guess, JAG UK fans, members of the Bold City Brigade over here. And they got these two little kids, and they're just waiting to get an autograph. And this one little kid just sticks his pad out. He goes, anybody? He just wanted anyone to sign it for him. It was the cutest thing you ever saw. Anybody? And his dad goes, that's not how it works, son. They'll come up to you. And it was great, man. We had a good time, man. It was, it's been crazy. What time is it? I have no idea. What time is it right now? It's something over there, right?
Where you are, it's about 3:25. It's 10:25 over here in the States. And Mike, how was the flight, the travels, all of that? I know people talk about how grueling it is. How bad was it?
Well, it's grueling when you do normal travel, I would imagine. But, you know, the Jags don't play. They're going full charter, so. You know, last night we had dinner in Cincinnati, which was wonderful. And then they take you right to a special place off the tarmac where you check your passport, everything. You go through, get a final screening, you get on board. You're right on the tarmac with the buses. You just get on the plane. Virgin Atlantic was crazy nice. I'd never flown on that, you know, on a plane that big going across transatlantic flight. And then, you know, you get in and, you know, they've got buses picking you up right there. You did have to go kind of through the normal whole airport scenario, but it's not, trust me, it's not nearly as grueling as normal travel, I'm sure. I got plenty of sleep. I slept on the plane. I slept on the bus. I slept everywhere. And now I'm just trying to stay up late enough so I can get back on, you know, get on British time rather than American time.
Are you going into London? Is that you going in today or tomorrow? When are you planning on going into the city?
Well, I don't think I can today. Tomorrow they've got you know, a bus that goes at like 1 o'clock local time, but I'm on with you guys at 3 o'clock tomorrow. So, you know, I don't think tomorrow. I think today, I mean, I just wrapped up meeting a bunch of the people that follow us on Twitter who follow Jaguars today. And Jessica met one in particular, and for Lauren, too, because I know she's there, who said, well, I don't mean to be rude, but my favorite show is Helmets and Heels. And I'm like, well, of course
nice.
It is. I mean, yeah, everyone's favorite show is Helmets and Heels. So they're listening to the podcast and all that stuff. And I don't know. I may take the tube into London today. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do. I really don't have anything on the agenda other than chatting with you guys.
All right. Well, let's chat, and let's chat about the game yesterday. I know you were up in Cincinnati for the contest. A lot of people talking about Blake Bortles and his performance in that game. It's what we started the show with today as well, Mike. And look, I think that it would be fair to give Blake around a C grade, maybe even a little bit lower than that for the performance that you saw yesterday. Even with the two touchdowns, you're talking the ball hit defenders' hands four or five times, and they just didn't come down with it.
Yeah, but that's part of the game sometimes. I mean, overall, when you compare it to the prior couple weeks, I think it was better. Because he did, look, we said what he's got to do, he's got to balance out those turnovers with some explosive plays and putting some points up on the board. And if you know, everyone talks about Peyton Manning's interceptions his rookie year. He also threw a bunch of touchdowns, and that's where, you know, Blake had been that 1-to-2 ratio, touchdown to interception, certainly better yesterday. You're right, Tony, they missed opportunities to intercept him several times, but and Alan Hearns really probably made him look better. I thought Alan Hearns was fantastic yesterday, making contested catches. And really, you come down to that last interception that Blake finally does throw. He said he was trying to throw it away. The ball kind of slipped in his hand a little bit. When I first saw it, I thought he was trying to throw it away. I was sitting lined up almost right there on the 10-yard line, so I had a really good look at it. And, you know, in that circumstance, can't make that play. You know, the Jags had a lot of momentum still, even after giving up that long Jeremy Hill touchdown run. And, you know, it was one of those games that a couple of plays, again, here and there, that game was there for the taking yesterday. And unfortunately, the defense didn't play as well overall as it had the previous 4 weeks. You know, Blake wasn't spot on, that's for sure. But, you know, competitive, but ultimately, got to get W's.
Dempsey, hey man, Paul Spicer here, hanging out.
Oh,
I'm trying to keep a seat warm for you, buddy. And
you
I'm checking out some. I'm definitely checking out some of these pictures here on Twitter, man. Look like you got a very nice spread over there across the pond.
Sean Conn doesn't play, man. this place is crazy as far as that goes. And by the way, thank you to 1010XL for helping with those accommodations for my personal trip as well. I mean, the place he's got him staying at is absolutely bonkers. You know, it's really nice. You know, he's first class, just like he's trying to make, you know, the team first class. He's trying to upgrade the game day experience. He wants this team to travel in style, to, you know, be a destination team. You look what he's done to upgrade the locker room. He wants it to be a place where guys want to come to play, Spice. And you can talk to that better than any of us, how much, you know, just the way you're treated in a first class manner. Winning is important. But I would assume as a player, you want to play for an organization that's going to treat you as good as any other organization in sports.
That's absolutely right. I mean, definitely want to be with a first-class organization. And I think Shaq Khan and those guys are definitely doing that. But also, I'll kind of come to, you know, my man Blake Bortles' defense real quick. You know, and I know the comparison to Peyton Manning and the 28 interceptions. But as you just mentioned, he did have a lot of touchdowns. But who was he throwing the ball to? And we had that little conversation off the air about right now, Blake doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to. And, you know, Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison. And I was just saying, if we were to take Blake Bortles with all his mistakes, if he and all these interceptions and things he's had right now as a rookie, compared to any other quarterback that, you know, we want to compare him to, if you give him a receiver, we just give him one receiver, just one. You know, I mean, you give him, like I mentioned off air, Andrew Luck. And I said, when Andrew Luck came in, he had Reggie Wayne. And I said, you give Reggie Wayne, just give us Reggie Wayne right now. Where would his team be as far as how well is Blake Bortles playing?
Well, I don't disagree that, you know, certainly, look, you not only had Marvin Harrison, he had Marshall Faulk in the backfield. Oh, you know, yeah. So that's a big-time threat as well. Not only what he can do with the ball in his hands, but what he does to open things up for receivers because of the threat of him running the football. So, look, I'm not, you know, this is not a knock on Blake trying to, you know, the comparison, whatever he does as a rookie, even if it matched identically to Peyton Manning, that doesn't mean their career paths are going to go the same regardless. You know, I think overall, there was more good to see yesterday than we had seen in the past couple weeks. But still, as Tony pointed out, you know, a couple of those throws, one of them was just inexplicable, where I don't see how he didn't see the guy. Was it a linebacker, I think, who kind of dropped into coverage?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was thrown to no, there was no receipt. I don't think the ball, if the linebacker disappears and isn't there, the ball is anywhere near the intended receiver. It was the oddest pass I think I may have seen him thrown in the 6.5 games that he's played at this point. So there are definitely some head scratchers, but look, I think fans probably get tired of hearing it to some degree, but they did fight. They did compete. They got down. You thought, oh boy, 19-3, this game is over with. And, you know, ultimately Cincinnati did go on to win, but, the team scrapped. It, you know, they're again playing with a bunch of rookies. It's not an excuse. It's just reality. It is what it is. You know, hopefully some of these start turning around where they start avoiding some of these mistakes that they're making, and they start picking up some W's to show for their effort.
Mike, you mentioned that you thought the defense took a step back yesterday. Boy, I just didn't see it that way. I know they gave up some explosive plays, but they were battling tough field position all day, starting 4 second-year players in the secondary. I did not see this defense necessarily taking a step back yesterday. I thought they had to battle more with circumstances of the game than anything.
Well, I disagree with you on that one, Jessica. I mean, obviously the safety doesn't count against them, but other than that, you're talking, you know, Jeremy Hill ran roughshod over, as it turned out. You know, I mean, still, even though Scobie kicks that ball out of bounds and you give him kind of a gut punch there, you're down 3 points. You've clawed back in this game. Momentum, notwithstanding the kickoff, is in your favor, and you let him go 60 yards on the very first play. He ran the ball very well. I thought Cincinnati ran the ball a lot more effectively than I thought they were going to all day. Look, I understand A.J. Green and Mohamed Sanu are good, but I thought the Jags in the first quarter, very strong defensively. From that point on, I thought Sanu and Green really kind of got into a bit of a rhythm with Andy Dalton. I thought Jermaine Gresham made more plays than he typically makes. You know, he didn't kill them, but Jermaine Gresham has been a disappointment ever since they drafted him there in Cincinnati. So overall, I'm comparing him to the standard that they set in the previous 4 games where they gave up less than 12 points a game, not counting the pick sixes. So, you know, from that standpoint, they gave up more than double that on a day when the offense finally, you know, put some decent points up on the board. So, you know, look, I don't think it's a catastrophe for them, but I think it was far from their best game.
That is Mike Dempsey. Mike, we appreciate you joining us here. I know you'll be back on tomorrow live from the hotel there, correct?
Live from the Grove. I think Jeff Logman's going to try to join me. I know you'll be there, Tony, stateside,
yeah,
as we call it over here, in the new world over there. So I look forward to it, man. It's amazing. I never in my life did I believe I'd ever go to Europe or anything like that, you know. So I'm just as in awe of this whole thing as a lot of people would be in my situation. So hopefully I can bring it to you through those eyes a little bit, and also, you know, hopefully catch up with some JAG players. I know there a lot of them are going into London tomorrow, so we probably won't have any players on the show tomorrow. Tomorrow is their one day off completely. So, but I look forward to it, you know, hooking up with you guys all week long and doing what we can from this end.
No doubt, and go catch the tube or whatever. Go see London, man, while you're there. Don't just sit in the hotel I know you. You get a little sedentary sometimes.
No, I've got like 12 different BBC channels to choose from. Are you kidding me? How can I pull myself away from that?
All right, Mike. I'll talk to you tomorrow, bud.
All right, guys. Good to talk to you. Thanks.
See you, Demps. That is Mike Dempsey. He's all the way over there in London. We will obviously hook up with him again tomorrow. Hopefully, Jeff Loggeman alongside. And we'll go to school as we take a look at the tape, as we do every Tuesday here on Jaguars. Today, we're going to step aside. We will talk a little bit about that Jaguar defense and some of the comments of Mike Dempsey and a reaction to that. As look, I think there's a bit of a difference of opinion, maybe even within this room, but we'll talk about that next, how the defense played, what I think really killed this Jaguar team yesterday, which wasn't Blake Bortles or that defense. It was a special teams unit that just let them down over and over and over again. As we continue on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, I'm Fat Tony, Paul Spicer, Jessica Blaylock alongside here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, rolling along here on a Monday edition of Jaguars Today. I'm Fat Tony, Jessica Blaylock, Paul Spicer alongside. Mike Dempsey will rejoin us tomorrow from over there in London. Enjoyed catching up with him. He needs to get out of that hotel room. I'm telling you, I've done the road trips with Mike. He'll sit in that room if you let him.
12 BBC channels.
That's right. Sometimes you got to kick him in the butt. We're going out. Oh, man. We don't get to go here very often. We're going out, actually. We've had a really good time. The last couple Super Bowls out in New Orleans and New York. You can get yourself in some trouble in New Orleans and New York. And I'm not saying we found any, but we went looking for it. I can tell you that much while we were there. Do want to let you know, Foundation Professionals of Jacksonville, they are bringing you a photo contest. We do one a month of these. If you go to the Facebook page of Jaguars Today, you can submit your photo showing your Jaguars passion for a chance to win some tickets to an upcoming Jacksonville Jaguars home game. Is your home's foundation letting you down? Your home is your greatest investment. Protect it. The engineers and specialists at Foundation Professionals of Florida are your full-service foundation repair company. Know the symptoms of exterior and interior wall cracks, windows and doors, stick, foundation cracks, and sloping floors. There may be more than one solution to your foundation problem. Foundation Professionals offers underpinning, polyurethane and cement grout injection, sinkhole stabilization, and even seawall repair. Call 904-287-2690 or log on to www.foundationprosfl.com. That's prosfl.com to get your house looked at today, your foundation. Again, go to the Facebook page. We have it pinned there at the top of the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Show your Jaguars passion for a chance to win some free tickets a little bit later on in the year. Mike was talking about the defense when he joined us a few minutes ago, and I go back and look at the game. Look, 24 for 154 and two touchdowns. That's what Hill did. You know, you can't take it away. You can talk about different plays. Obviously, the 60-yarder really killed this team with an opportunity to win. I think the big Achilles heel for this team yesterday was special teams. We've talked about the couple block punts yesterday, including the one that led to the safety. The kickoff out of bounds from Josh Scobie, which set up the next play, was the 60-yard run by Jeremy Hill. But when you go back and look at scoring drives for the Cincinnati Bengals, and I did this a moment ago during the break, they started from their own 40-yard line on their first touchdown drive. That was after a block punt. They started from their own 38 on another touchdown drive. That's when they had that just spectacular catch by Mohamed Sanu on that 36-yard hookup where there was actually a defender in really good position.
Right.
The ball was thrown in the right place, and a player made a play in Mohamed Sanu.
Those guys get paid, too.
Absolutely. They scored on a drive that started from the Jacksonville 23 because of a punt return that left them in that field position. And then they got the big run of 60 yards from Jeremy Hill after a kickoff out of bounds. So from their own 40. In the NFL, you're talking about a team that, when they were put in good field position, took advantage of it. And that's what Cincinnati did. And they were put in good field position more times than you would like to see a team put in a game because of the just blunders from this Jacksonville Jaguars special team unit yesterday in that game.
Absolutely, Tony. And Jessica, we all in agreement. And in this room, that the defense did not play poorly. And I've heard that defense this, defense that. That's, I mean, I think it's totally BS when I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the stats. And if you take away the 60-yard run by Jeremy Hill, which, again, as my man Tony just pointed out, they started at the 40-yard line by the kick out of bounds, something that the defense has nothing to do with. Right now, they had 33 attempts for 131 yards. That's 3.9 a rush. Okay, I can live with that. Then you take over the 7.0 per pass. I can live with that. When I was here coaching with the Jaguars, that was a goal of ours, to keep the defense, to keep the offense under 7.0 per pass. And then you talk about, we talked about turnovers. They got two turnovers. Okay? We talked about Martin.
Should have had a third.
Who was a backup safety. Yes, he got beat by Sanu on that on a nice skinny post. He comes back, they try to run the same play. Bam, he makes the play. Again, Jessica brought up, here it is, the whole secondary, no more than 2 years of experience. All right, and these guys are making plays, and the defense has stepped up, and they continue to step up game in and game out. Andy Dalton, nobody would argue that he's not a good quarterback, okay? He had 59.0 QBR rating, all right? He was 19 for 31, 233 yards, 7.5 average, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions, all right? That right there is not winning football, folks. And, I mean, and he had the 2 TDs, as, again, Tony pointed out, with great field position.
Yeah.
Let's put them back on the 20, all right, their own 20, and have them march 80 yards.
They didn't do it.
Right.
You do, everybody look up, you can look it up in Google stats. I mean, the NFL stats, NFL Jesus, they'll give you the stats. You can look it up. If a team, the percentages weigh heavily in the favor of the defense, if a team has to start in their own 20, all right, if you keep going up, then the percentages weigh heavily in the offense favor as far as scoring. So right now, I mean, when I listen to, you know, everybody out there, the pundits and, you know, different media members continue, even some people on this show continue to say it's the defense didn't play well. I just can't believe it. I like, you know, the numbers don't lie, as the ESPN show says. The numbers
don't lie. When you compare it to the last 4 weeks, when this is a defense that has been giving up basically 10 points a week. I mean, it's 11, something like that, for the last month or so of the season. They've been playing from a lot better field position than they did yesterday, obviously, in that game. But when you compare it to the 4 weeks prior to this, I think that they didn't play as well yesterday as they had for the 4 weeks previous. But I think to expect any NFL defense to play at the level this Jaguar defense was playing at for the last month is a little absurd, especially with how little they were getting as far as any help from the offense for the last month. Too.
Absolutely.
And losing key players this week like Will Blackman and Alan Ball. I mean, this defense, yeah, I agree, Tony. I think the point that you just made is spot on. They didn't play as well yesterday as maybe they have been for the previous couple of games. But I think that they had to step up to the plate yesterday, battling some pretty tough circumstances. And I thought they did so pretty admirably, Paul. And maybe you can address this better than I can. I mean, having played the game yourself for so long. But after that kick by Scobie that went out of bounds, it's later in the game when you've got a big-time opportunity to continue to mount your comeback. You know, that mentality of the defense going out onto the field, having to face another short situation as far as field position, when does that start to catch up to you as a player, a little bit of frustration with the circumstances that you're being put in?
I can guarantee you there was frustration by players on the defense when that kick. Now, everybody knows, and I said this last night, I know Scobie. I played
right
with the man. I know he didn't mean to do that.
And he's one of the best.
And he's one of the
he
best.
He gets a pass
business
every once in a while, too.
But the fact is, it happened. It went out of bounds. And as a defense, you are frustrated, but the fact is you still got to go do your job.
Right.
And they went out there, they ran a play, and we talked about this play. It was, you know, bad run fits by the defense. JT Thomas, he has been doing an outstanding job playing the auto position, which equates to a wheel backer. And he was moved inside because of the injury to George. So he moved to backer. And then my man Cyprian, he comes down, he fits in this. And when we watched it, when you watch the tape, and when they do the replays, you will see you have two defenders, Thomas and Cyprian, outside of the block. Hill makes a cut inside. There's nobody because Cyprian was the guy. So there's nobody back there, and which there was, excuse me, I'm sorry, the safety in the middle of the field.
Josh Evans.
My man,
yeah.
Josh Evans, which he missed the tackle. Because it boils down to coaches will always say to their players, hey, just give us a chance. If they break it, hey, just make the tackle, give us a chance to play another down. And unfortunately, my man Josh, he missed the tackle, getting hurt in the process, which we all hope that he's well, he can play this week, but he missed the tackle and they score. So, like I said, we can go around this all day long. One, the defense did not play poorly. I mean, with all the circumstances of guys they had missed, they missing Puz. And then the guy that replaced Puz, he gets injured. So they had to go to the third guy. And then we look at the secondary, as you mentioned, we got four guys out there with no more than 2 years of experience. All right. And some of them are backups because Blackman didn't play, Ball didn't play. I mean, so again, we could point out a lot of different reasons. I don't see this defense. It might be a little let down from the previous 4 weeks, but the previous 4 weeks, we're not talking about the injuries. We're not talking about all the guys that just missing in this defense. Puz was a huge, huge loss for this defense. I mean, he is the general of that defense. He is the man in the middle.
Andre Branch was a big loss.
I mean, you know, Andre Branch. And right now, we're looking at plays that would have definitely, I feel, Puz, he's seen that power play many a days. How many have JT seen as a middle linebacker? Okay? So, I can't say this, the defense did not play, I cannot say the defense played poorly, especially when I look at the numbers, of this game and how the game played out. With that short field position, it's very frustrating for a defender to keep coming out there with short, with, on a short field. That's very frustrating.
Yeah, and look, it's special teams. It's the two block punts, it's the kickoff out of bounds, it's allowing a punt return to the 23-yard line. That really, in the end, is what killed this team's chance to it eliminated their best chance to win this game.
Absolutely.
The mistakes that they made on special teams. They still had chances. You know, they still have the ball with a chance there at the end, and Blake Bortles throws an inexplicable interception. They still have Cincinnati at their own 40-yard line, and they give up that big play. Look, it happened. You know, and it's because two guys got out of position on one play, the gap didn't get filled, and there goes Jeremy Hill. It happened. Now, you don't want to see those kind of things from your defense. I think overall they played fine. I don't think they played as well as they have again for the last month, but I think they played fine, and they keep losing bodies. I mean, eventually it's going to catch up to you a little bit. Just remember how bad they were for the first month of this season, and look at where they are now in that game yesterday. Mohamed Sanu catches four passes for 95 yards. A.J. Green catches three passes for 44 yards. That's not getting killed by those two guys. That's Mohamed Sanu made a couple of really outstanding plays on the ball in the air, and that's kind of the player that he's become. He's been really good in the 3 weeks that A.J. Green hadn't been a part of this. I think the secondary held up really well yesterday against that Cincinnati Bengals passing attack. I would have liked to have seen more pass rush from that front four, but they didn't get home very often. They finally affected Andy Dalton in the fourth quarter, and you saw it. You saw it. It showed up on the field. They forced the interception. They get the ball on the ground a couple other times.
And now, this date in football history.
Oh, yeah, this date in football history brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. In 1935, Philadelphia and Boston played a game in which they combined to throw a still NFL record 11 interceptions between the two teams. I bet that was fun to watch. 1935, 11 interceptions in a game. That's pathetic. Notable birthdays on this date in football history. Bronco Nagurski, the NFL fullback for the Chicago Bears, was born this date in 1908. He was elected to the NFL Hall of Fame in 1963, a four-time first-team All-Pro, member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame's All-Decade team from the 1930s, passed away in 1990 at the age of 81. Phil Simms, the New York Giants quarterback, current CBS broadcaster, Super Bowl MVP and Super Bowl 21, born in 1955. He is 59 years old today, and happy birthday to the Otto. For now, Leroy Reynolds, 24 years old today, so happy birthday to Leroy. This date in football history is presented this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. At Best Fence, the mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. Fencing is an investment in your home. Your family will feel protected, and you'll breathe easier knowing Best Fence installed your new fence. Best Fence provides professional free estimates at your convenience. Call them today at 904-268-1638. That's 904-268-1638, or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information.
Happy birthday. Now, the Honda Drive around the NFL brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
All right, in Monday Night Football tonight, the 3-4 New York Giants play host to the 5-3 Indianapolis Colts. Both teams have something in common. They've recently suffered embarrassing losses in the state of Pennsylvania as the Steelers whipped the Colts 51-34 and the Giants were shut out 27-0 in Philly against the Eagles October 12th. Indy has not lost back-to-back games in a long time, actually. They have not done it since Luck became the starting quarterback in 2012. In fact, prior to this September, Luck hadn't lost back-to-back games since he was a redshirt freshman at Stanford in 2009. He's an impressive 11-1 following losses. Plus, the Giants will be without starting running back Rashad Jennings, so they'll rely on rookie Andre Williams in the backfield. And the most surprising result came yesterday from Miami. When I first saw this score, I literally screamed out loud from Dave and Buster's yesterday. But the Dolphins shut out the Chargers 37-0, holding San Diego's Phillip Rivers to 138 yards.
Yeah, he turned it over like four times or something like that in that game yesterday. My fantasy team, he was worth -4.
Yes, he's been worth, we have him on ours too.
Right, he's been worth 20 to 25 points like clockwork all year long. And yesterday, -4 against the Dolphins. Oh, my goodness.
I know. Helmets and Heels, I think, is going down this week thanks to that.
No.
Yep. It'll only be our second loss, though.
We're still doing well.
Yeah.
And I draft him against my best wishes because he's one of my least favorite players in the league. I don't like Phillip at all, but he's been helping me this year until yesterday, where obviously the biggest loss of the day yesterday, 37-0 against the Miami Dolphins. What a shocking result that was. Let's get out to the phone lines, talk to a couple of you guys. 641-1010 is the number if you want to get involved in the show. CJ is up first. What's going on, CJ?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right, CJ, what's up?
Good. I mean, regardless of how people take the losses, I mean, you can't deny the fact that we're getting better. I mean, we're playing playoff caliber teams, and we're pretty much silencing the crowds at certain points of the game. We weren't nowhere near that last year, so people could say, you know, people could make up all kinds of excuses or kind of insults or whatever, but at the end of the day, you can't deny the fact that we're just a blunder here or there from beating playoff caliber teams, and people can't seem to realize that, but they know why. They know what's up.
All right, CJ, I appreciate the call. Look, I agree. I think this team is getting better, and it's something that I talked with John Osier about last week here on Jaguars Today. When you go back to last year, the first half of last season for this Jacksonville Jaguar team, historically bad. I mean, we were talking about after 0-8, this may be the most embarrassing team in NFL history. How are they going to be compared to Detroit? Can we please just go get one so we don't have to talk about that for the rest of our lives? You know, it was that kind of bad for the first half of last season. I think the first month or so of this year, you were kind of in that same headspace. It was like, what is going on? We all thought that the team had gotten better, and it didn't seem to be showing up on the field yet. You'd see little incremental steps from guys in games. And then, look, they've only won the one game, but if you go back and look at the last 6 weeks, basically, for this Jaguar team, you are seeing improvement. And I think what you're seeing is last year historically bad, this year they're bad. And the difference between being historically bad and bad is that you play a game against Cincinnati yesterday. That game last year is going to be 41-3. This year it's 33-23 because you're not terrible in every facet of the game. You're okay at some things. You're struggling to figure some other things out. And you play the way the bad teams in this league play. You're going to get somebody. You didn't get Cincinnati yesterday, but you're going to get somebody because they're competitive enough right now to go get somebody. Hopefully they put it all together for 1 week. Look, they can't afford to have two punts blocked. They can't afford to give up a 60-yard run. They can't afford to give up a 23-yard field. They're not good enough to do any of those things. They're not good enough to throw an interception in the end zone every week. They're not good enough to be the team that is doing those things and put everything together and win a ball game yet, but they're good enough. They're better enough than they were last year now that when they do all those things, they lose 33-23 instead of 41-3.
Absolutely. I think we all, and that's, you know, everyone who has come on, you know, this station, and I think everyone in agreement that this team is getting better. No one is saying by any means, any stretch of the imagination that, oh, this team is like it was last year or the year before or any of that matters. This team is getting better. You do see the progression. The problem is, for us in our society, we want it right now. We want this team to be a playoff contender right now. Well, you know what? It ain't going to happen right now. We have to be patient. And unfortunately, in the world of sports, and that, I mean, we see it in the college game. I mean, we want our team to be in the college playoff talk. We want our team to be playing in the BCS bowl games. We want, I mean, even in high school, we want our team to win district. So right now, we want our team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, to be relevant. And unfortunately, right now, they're not. But the great thing about it is they are moving forward. We're not seeing them take steps back. I mean, the first half of this season, the first quarter of this season, I mean, it did look bad at times where you're thinking, did this team get any better? Or it just stayed the same? But you know what? The resurgence of Blake Bortles coming in, being pressed into a starting role, which I said, and a lot of other people agreed with me, that he was going to play this year, to watch this young man play, regardless of the mistakes that he's made, he's going to make more mistakes. It ain't going to stop here. It's going to be next week. But this team, Jessica, Tony, is getting better, and I think there's bigger and better things to come in the near future.
They're getting better. They're taking steps forward, but they still have yet to put together a game where you see it work in all three phases,
right,
in offense, defense,
absolutely,
and special teams. The defense struggled the first 4 weeks, and then when the defense finally found their stride, offense couldn't score enough points to win a game. I mean, you look at that game against Miami. You take away those two pick sixes, it's a tied ball game in the fourth quarter. The defense had held the Steelers to what? Was it 10 points?
10 points.
Mm-hmm.
That should be enough. I'm sure, Paul, you know, as a defensive player, you hold a team to 10 points, you're expecting to win that game. Special teams yesterday was such a killer. So while they're making improvements, I think that they have yet to put together a game where it works in all three phases. And I think that's what I'm waiting to see, when the defense can hold an opponent to 10 or 13 points, when the offense can go out there and score and be efficient in the red zone and not go three and out, when special teams can give them good field position and, you know, put them in a positive situation. So that's the one thing I think we're still waiting for, is to see that game where it works in all three phases.
No doubt. And I want to be clear, too. When I say I do believe that this team is getting better, I believe that they are more competitive than they were last year. I think they're even more competitive than they were when they won 4 out of 5 games. I think that this team is better than the one that won those 4 out of 5 games. In the end, this is a league about wins and losses. And they're 1-8. And that's why I'm also not on here not being critical of the things that are going wrong on this team. They are having these blunders on special teams that are inexcusable. You can't get 2 punts blocked. It can't happen. Good teams can't get 2 punts blocked in this league and survive those kind of things. You can't throw the interception that Blake Bortles threw. You can't do it. And I've talked about it. That's not a rookie mistake to me. That's a terrible decision and a bad execution of a bad decision by Blake Bortles on that play. That's not about being a rookie. That's about a quarterback making a bad play. And look, you can say that the team is getting better and still be critical of some of the things that are going on with this team. Last year, there was nothing to say, hey, but we have this going right. There was no Denard Robinson. There was no, yeah, the defense, they gave up some points in that game yesterday, but look at the field position they were having to deal with. There was no 2 interceptions. There was no forcing a fumble. There was no holding a guy like A.J. Green to 3 catches for 44 yards. Those things weren't happening for this team last year. I am as anxious as anybody for them to put it together and start doing it consistently, where we're not talking about losing 33-23 in a game like that. We're talking about winning 37-33. I'm as anxious as anybody. That doesn't mean they're not getting better. You can still point out the things that are going well for a team that is developing and be critical of the things that they're still trying to figure out, because there are clearly areas where this team is still struggling. And that's why we talk about big picture things. And we try to take not just one game, but start looking at the trends for this Jacksonville Jaguar team. We'll continue to do that. We'll continue to take your calls at 641-1010 here on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. I'm Fat Tony, joined by Paul Spicer and Jessica Blaylock. You can participate with us in the Fan Feedback Spotlight today, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships on Twitter or via the Facebook page over there for Jaguars Today. We're asking you simply today, where, if anywhere, do you believe the Jacksonville Jaguars got better in that game against the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday. At 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, at Coach Spicer 95, at Jess Blaylock. We'll get to some of your answers a little bit later on. Try to give out a t-shirt or two to some of the answers that may catch our eye. And we'll get to your phone calls next. That's 641-1010 here on Jaguars Today on a Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Rolling along, Jaguars Today on a Monday. We have a theme every day here on the show, and Lauren has given us, what have we had today thus far, Lauren?
We've had, this right now currently is You Two, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me.
Right.
Kill Me. And then we started with a couple other songs that all had kill in them. So can you figure out the theme, Tony?
Blake Bortles is killing us.
I'm killing
you
us.
You got it. I knew Blake, you could do it.
Blake is killing us. Yeah, I know Killing in the Name Of with Rage Against the Machine started.
ZZ Top, She's Killing Me.
Yeah, ZZ Top. Yeah, Blake Bortles is killing us. Look, yesterday that throw that he made was just terrible. I do want to talk. We got a couple of callers on the lines, and we're going to get out to you here in just a minute. 641-1010. But I'm watching the game yesterday, and I get to about the third quarter. And I'm watching with Jess, and I'm like, where's Marquise Lee? Like, I hadn't thought about it in the whole game. And I was like, where's Marquise Lee? Turned out he played 7 snaps.
Yeah, his face is on a milk carton right now.
Right. He played 7 snaps, was not targeted once in the game by Blake Bortles yesterday. I don't know what the deal is with Marquise Lee at this point in time, but he's been pretty much a non-factor for this team since he got drafted here. Obviously, he dealt with the injury early on in the season, so you could forgive him a little
bit. But so did Allen Robinson.
Right. You could forgive him a little bit a month ago, you know, when he's trying to make his return. But at this point, he's not even playing well enough, it seems like, for the coaching staff to trust putting him on the field for this team. And it brings up another area of concern for this Jaguar roster, and that is punt return. Ace Sanders is a guy that they drafted in the 4th round last year. As a rookie, he was asked to play wide receiver a lot, so you could understand why his focus may have been in other places. Caught 51 balls.
Yeah, and did a pretty admirable job.
Yes, he did. Last year for this Jacksonville Jaguar offense, not being asked to play a lot of offense for this team this year, he's basically the punt returner, and he's giving them nothing. So the question for me becomes, do you at some point soon, Paul, put Marquise Lee, who was a dynamite special teams player during his time at USC. I mean, he was a difference maker at times for that Trojan team as a punt returner. When do you start considering getting Marquise Lee back there to return punts? Because he's not giving you anything anywhere else in the game right now.
I mean, right now, we don't know exactly why he's not playing. I mean, you know, are they being hush-lip about his hamstring is not fully recovered? Or was it worse than what we all thought, you know, coming in or him, or as far as him coming back. And, you know, right now, I think only time I've seen him is on the bike on the sideline. And he can't catch a pass over there. So no. I think, yeah, give him a shot at special teams. I mean, you're right. He was one heck of a special teams guy back at USC. And right now, Ace Sanders, as great as he was in college, we have not seen no likes of the Ace Sanders at South Carolina. Well, right now, we just see Ace Sanders, and unfortunately, it's not good enough. He needs to either pick his game up or let someone else, and if that's someone else, going to be Marquise Lee, because we know Marquise Lee has the speed, he has the elusiveness, he has the athletic ability to definitely get back there and return some kicks. I mean, he can go back there with Jordan Todman as well. I mean, they can be a two-headed monster back there, because teams going to say, okay, Todman's doing a great job, we want to kick it away from him. Well, then put him back there. So I saw Ace Sanders have one kick return in the game, but he still didn't do nothing.
No.
So Marquise Lee, if it's not an injury thing, if it's a practice thing, I mean, if it's a playbook thing, you know, because I don't think, you know, the kid is not a dumb kid. I think he's an intelligent young man, and, you know, for whatever reason, he's not on the field. So, hey, maybe your next step is to slide over there on special teams. Right now, the way the special teams have been playing, we need a spark.
Yeah, you've got nothing to lose at this point. I mean, why not switch things up? And if Marquise Lee is not going to be out there for an extensive number of plays for your offense, find a place for him to work right now until you can get whatever's going on figured out. because he can be a difference maker for this offense. I just don't think they've found yet either what works or maybe the injury, like you said, Paul, is worse than we thought. Maybe it's holding him back. Maybe he's not understanding the playbook as clearly as he needs to right now. Maybe there's something going on that the coaching staff just doesn't want anyone to know about. Who knows? But if Marquise Lee is not going to make a difference in your passing game right now, at least find a spot where he can make a difference. And like you said, Ace Sanders is just not getting it done.
No. And by the way, while we're talking special teams, as bad as they were yesterday for this team, the punt blocking, obviously, the punt return against down to the 23-yard line, hurt them, the kickoff out of bounds. With all that being said, Jordan Todman played a whale of a game.
Yes, he did.
He was really good on kickoff returns. He was really good on coverage as well for this team yesterday. He made a couple of big plays in the special teams. I'm not sure what happened. I haven't been able to go back and watch the return that Pac-Man got back down to the 23-yard line to see if Jordan might have missed an opportunity at a play on that one. I just don't know off the top of my head. But do want to say, what I saw of Todman yesterday, he played really well. It was really the only thing in the special teams that worked for this Jacksonville Jaguar team. Want to get back out to the phone line, 641-1010. Let's go to Leo is up next calling the program. What's up, Leo?
Hey, good morning, everyone. I appreciate y'all taking my call. Y'all hit on some two good topics I wanted to talk about in general. First of all, last thing is, I want y'all to say some positive things. I'm really disappointed, though, to the tune of Scobie's won, okay? Because ever since the Philadelphia game, and, you know, say what you want about the line, they're not blocking, then maybe they need to make better preparations at practice. Kick the ball faster. Get your foot up in the air a little faster. I don't know. That kick out of bounds, I heard somebody say he gets a pass. He should not get a pass. That's all you do is kick balls. I mean, I don't know how you're kicking balls out of bounds. I'm not a fan. I'm disappointed with Cecil Shorts. I feel like the veterans on this team, Anger, Scobie, Cecil Shorts, I've been saying this for weeks. They're not coming through, I think, in clutch times. I'd like to see Cecil Shorts out of there and give Marquise Lee a chance, actually, to be honest with you. And y'all can tell me that Cecil Shorts had 100 yards, you know, last week and whatnot and everything. I see the guy drops balls. There's plays that he could make out there, and he's not making. And I'm just not a fan of his. I want to ask one more question. What position does Cyprian play?
Yeah, he's a strong safety.
Is he a free safety or strong?
Strong.
He's strong safety. Okay. I was going to say, because I think he's a great player. Well, not great. I think he's a really good player. It's just concerning to me. I see him make so many tackles. And him and Paul Posluszny, listen to what I say here. I'm not slighting Donovan Dares. They remind me of Donovan Dares, how they bring the tenacity, the intensity when they hit. And I really like him a lot. It's just concerning that he's always making, I think last week against the Dolphins, he came up and made like three tackles in a row. I mean, that's his safety coming all the way from the back, making tackles at the line of scrimmage. But yeah, they've got to clean things up. And one more thing I'm going to say about Bortles, y'all can rip the man. Yeah, he was bad. I don't think he's killing the team. I'm just going to keep referring back to 28, Peyton Manning, and it's 28. So I'm okay with him doing that. Next year this time, it's not okay for Blake Bortles to make these throws.
Hey, man. Hey, Leo, I mean, I know you're going off on your rant, man, but hold up. We got to respond to something. I mean, you just rolling right now, man. We ain't got all that time. But, I mean, we got to respond to something. I mean, I know you kind of went off with the Cyprian making too many tackles, but as a strong safety and depending on the defense that's called, he can be up right there in the box as well. So, I mean, and right now with the run game threat that we had against Miami, we saw him making plays, and that's what we wanted our strong safety. Because a strong safety is really just a more athletic, a little lighter linebacker.
Yeah, I think Leo's gone, but I think the design of this defense is for Cyprian to be in the position that he's in. He's supposed to be a guy that's going to be making tackles for this defense. That's part of what he does for this team, which is why when he gets out of position potentially on that long run, I mean, that's what's disappointing. He can't be in the wrong spot. He can't be, because he basically plays a linebacker position for them on those run fits. That's the kind of position that Cyprian is put in. He's had a couple times this year where he's just been in the wrong spot. We saw it in the preseason against Detroit. We saw it in the game against Philadelphia. There's been a handful of occasions where he's not filling the right spot, and because of it, they're giving up huge, explosive plays. I think Cyprian is a really talented player. I think he's a very talented guy. I think, for me personally, I'm still waiting to see all of it come together for him, because he's still making just bad plays one or two times a game. You saw it yesterday on the Jeremy Hill run. It's just a bad play. And for a guy as talented as I think Cyprian is, I think he gets a lot of credit for a guy who hasn't shown too much to this point in his second year in the league. I think there's a lot expected out of Jonathan Cyprien. I think he's a physical machine. I think he's a tackle monster. I think that he does a lot of things well, but we're not seeing Cyprien play at that high level that everyone wants to see him eventually get to, Paul.
Well, I think we want to see a lot of players out there play at a high, very high level, and right now we're not seeing it. Not just Cyprien. And I know you keep going back to that Jeremy Hill run.
I do.
But as I said, that wasn't just Cyprien. Okay. That was more JT than Cyprien. Cyprien was where he needed to be. He fed outside the block as a strong safety should, and inside the block, which should have been JT. That's where Jeremy Hill, he cut inside and went 60 and he broke it back out. And then on top of that, it's 11 men out there. Okay.
No doubt.
Just one. And the fact is like we mentioned earlier, if my man Evans get over there and make that tackle, it gives the defense another opportunity to maybe make a play. But unfortunately, he whiffs on the tackle. He goes high. He flies off the back. And my man Hill goes to the end zone. So the defense is always played with 11. And it only takes one guy to screw it up. And right there, we had two guys. We had the missed tackle by Evans, and we had the missed fit by JT Thomas, which we alluded to. He's not a Mike linebacker. He had to go into that role. He didn't practice it all week. He didn't take no reps at Mike, but you know what? George got hurt, and so he had to go in there and play Mike. Puzz is out. Now George is out. Now we got JT Thomas playing Mike, which he is not a Mike. We shouldn't expect him to be Puzz or even George for that matter, because George was playing well up until his injury, ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact of the matter is that we got guys in new positions. We got guys, you know, making some mistakes here and there. But the bottom line is that as this team goes, we want to continue to see the improvement we have seen. And bad plays are going to come. Donovan Darius, one hell of a safety that played here for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But how many times when he was getting ripped by the media week in and week out because of a missed tackle or missed coverage or drop interception? Those things are going to happen. Ain't nothing you can do about that. I can remember plenty of times of being blocked or missing sack, had the guy in my hand, and for whatever reason, those guys get paid too. Those guys work out too. Those guys are professionals. We got to realize that it ain't just all about us out there on that field. Those guys on the other side, you know, Jeremy Hill is not just some ragamuffin running back. I mean, this kid is 230 pounds and he's coming full at running at 4.5, 4.4 speed that he has out of LSU. He's coming downhill right now and you better take him on with proper form. And unfortunately, Josh Evans didn't do that.
No, I don't disagree with you. It's an 11-man game on defense. I think that, for me, it's about the expectations that we all had of Cyprien when he came in, and I don't think that he's lived up to that yet. Cyprien is one of these guys, he gets a lot more credit than I think his on-field production deserves to this point in his career. That doesn't mean that he's not going to develop into a really good player. I think he plays the position pretty well right now for this team. He's being asked to do a lot with a very young secondary. I think that he plays okay. There's a level of expectation with the guy that they took where they took Jonathan Cyprien at that kind of position with Gus Bradley as your head coach and that defense that he wants to bring in. There's a stress on the strong safety position in this defense that there isn't on a lot of strong safeties in this league. I'm still waiting for him to really bud and blossom in this defense. I just haven't seen it yet. Doesn't mean he's been playing terrible. He's been okay. He just hadn't been as good as I think I would like to see Jonathan Cyprien play for this Jacksonville Jaguar team. We got the fan feedback spotlight coming up here in just a moment. We want to hear from you via Twitter and Facebook. Where, if anywhere, did the Jacksonville Jaguars improve in that game against the Bengals yesterday? At 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, at Coach Spicer 95, at Jess Blaylock. We will get to your answers. We'll give out a t-shirt. We'll get back out to the phone lines, hopefully, as well at 641-1010 here on a Monday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
She keeps him away, Shonda, in a pretty cabinet. She says, just like Marie Antoinette.
All right, Jaguars Today here. I'm Fat Tony, Paul Spicer, Jessica Blaylock alongside as well. We're going to get to the fan feedback spotlight here in just a moment. But do want to get out to the phone lines real quick. Chris has been holding. Want to talk about the Jags game yesterday. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
I just want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you think the receivers are breaking away and getting open?
Appreciate the call,
or
Chris.
Not?
No, I don't think they are, is the honest truth. And that's when I don't get the opportunity to go to road games and see what's going on. There is a completely different perspective when they're here at home and you get the opportunity to see plays develop and those route trees and everything that goes on, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I almost wish that TV for football would show you the coaches' tape. Because they show replays on it. I almost wish they would just show the game with that overhead view because it's so much more interesting to watch the way everything's developing for the quarterback, especially on pass plays. You just can't tell on a broadcast of an NFL game what is really happening downfield and whether guys are open. I can tell you watching them when they've been home this year, no. No, these guys are not breaking open for Blake Bortles. And you go back to the first couple of games he played, I felt like there was this anticipation. There was a Blake Bortles that was throwing some guys open. There was, you know, a guy's not hitting that break yet. That ball's out because he trusted that guy's going to get to that spot. He had no reason to trust it. Hadn't practiced a lot with these guys. Hadn't played a lot with these guys. And I think for the last couple of weeks, you've seen a guy that's a little more hesitant making those kind of throws. And it's costing the offense opportunities. Again, I don't know if he needs a reset button in a bye week. I don't know what's going on with Blake. But something is up. It just hadn't been the same for the last 3 weeks.
And you just take a look at some of the throw and catches that were made yesterday with Allen Hurns. I mean, he had to take the ball away from the defender. And when you see that these receivers are not getting the separation to where they are wide open. You know, now don't get me wrong. Are there some times where guys are open? Yes. But when we see, you know, some of the routes, and I know yesterday on CBS, they even made it a point to show how, I think it was Allen Robinson running out and Newman was on him at every step.
Sure.
Even when he planted the outside foot and broke out. I mean, Newman planted his and broke with him. I mean, he was blanketed. So, I mean, some of that is the receivers, our young receivers haven't learned to really press up field, get that cornerback running and then break down and come out. But then some of it is, hey, some of the secondary guys they're playing against. They're playing against some great secondaries as of late.
It's a veteran secondary there in Cincinnati. And look, if you want the 8-yard out to work, if you really want to sell that route, every now and then they have to believe that you can beat them over the top too. And Allen Robinson to this point, as effective a receiver as he's been, hasn't really shown that. And I think when you watch him against a veteran like a Terrence Newman or a Leon Hall that have seen a lot of great players in this league go opposite them, they're like, you're not beating me on that. Mm-hmm. I know where you're stopping. I know where you're breaking off this route, and they break on it with them. And because of that, you're not seeing any separation for these receivers right now.
Tony, you said you think that there's maybe something up with Blake. I don't see how there's any way that those interceptions and those pick sixes cannot be getting to him a little bit at this point. Look, Blake has done a great job taking ownership of mistakes and so forth. That interception late in the game yesterday, to me, really worries me how it's going to affect Blake because, you know, he goes the whole game, doesn't turn the ball over, escapes some very, very close what could have been interceptions, but catches a couple breaks. And then that pick comes at such a crucial point in the game. And, you know, I think to myself, what's the only comparison that I can maybe make in my world? Okay, if I'm working a television broadcast and the first time I'm on camera, I slip up over some words. Okay, no big deal. Shake it off. The next time I'm on camera, I slip up over some words. Well, now it's starting to get into my head. Okay, every time they come to me, am I going to be able to make it through what I need to say without screwing up? That's the only comparison that I can think for Blake when he's back there in the pocket on a throw. Okay, am I going to get it to my guy or am I going to cost us on this drive? Am I going to get it to my guy? Am I going to throw another pick six? I mean, at some point, I think mistakes do try and get to you, and maybe that's why this bye week coming up after the Dallas game is at a good time, because maybe even though this coaching staff says they don't feel like it's really taken a hit to his confidence, even though Blake himself has said, I don't feel like my confidence is really shot, you have to have a short memory, everyone is human. At what point do mistakes not wear on you as a player?
Absolutely, Jessica. I mean, when you make mistakes, and right now there are plenty, but the good, I mean, you know, I will agree with you that I'm pretty sure that Blake thinks about them. And I don't know how, but the thing about it is we don't know how much it affects him.
Right.
That's the $64,000 question. Does it affect him? Is it affecting him? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, right now, the way we're watching this thing, he's still a young player. He's still learning. And as I said, if there's a player out there constantly thinking about what he has to do, then he's not going to play well. He has to know, okay, I know the game plan. I know what I got to do. We just got to go out here and execute. And you go out there and you play, that's like almost like being in the zone, for instance. And right now, he hasn't been in the zone yet. And I think when he has the opportunity, when he just can go out there and just be Blake Bortles, play ball, don't worry about making mistakes. They're going to happen. I think he's going to make a lot of plays. And I think right now, with the picks are coming, the mistakes, he, like you said, he's human. He will think about them. But he just can't allow it to affect him to the point where it takes him out of the game. It takes him away from helping his team win. Because right now, he is the only one that they have on this roster as in that position that can give this team the best chance to win on Sunday.
There's no doubt about it. And look, I still have a lot of belief in Blake Bortles. That doesn't mean I'm not going to tell you that I think he played well the last 3 weeks. He's been bad. The last 3 weeks, Blake Bortles has been bad. And I believe him when he says that he was trying to throw that ball out of the back of the end zone because I saw him underthrow other passes by 8 to 10 yards yesterday, too. Both touchdowns were underthrown balls.
And he's never made excuses.
No.
That's not his style. That's not who he is.
That throw in the end zone was underthrown. That throw in the flat that should have been intercepted, that was underthrown by 6 or 7 yards. I believe him when he says he was trying to throw it out of the back of the end zone. I think he did it terribly trying to get it there. And it cost his team their best opportunity at that point in the game to go and get a victory. The fan feedback spotlight question today brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. They asked Jaguar fans, what drives you? Today in the Tom Bush fan feedback spotlight, we ask you, where, if anywhere, did you see improvement from this Jacksonville Jaguars team yesterday? From Jags Movie Guy, we got, we didn't burn unnecessary timeouts early in the half. Improvement. Tight ends didn't eat our lunch in the middle of the field. From Brandon, Toby Gerhart got better. He did. Other than that, it was for the par or below. Hashtag meh. From Hadari, we got D. Robinson is really blossoming into a legit running back. Beatles much better yesterday. I agree on both accounts. Robbie, we improved on not having field goal or an extra point blocked. And the run game keeps getting better. Hashtag run, D-Rob, run. From Stevie Howland, at Irish Jaguar. Offense showed some fight. Hearns made plays. From Eric, we got, I think the run game continued to get better yesterday with Gerhart running hard again. From Jags Brothers, Jordan Todman and the kick return team improved on already solid play. And Hearns made the plays we badly needed with no drops. From Nick, finally, we got running the ball. Denard is a legit running back. Toby looked good, too. Hashtag more D-Rob. We appreciate your responses. We do it every day with the Tom Bush family of dealerships bringing the fan feedback spotlight. Look, I go back to Blake Bortles as we begin to wrap things up here, guys. And when you call customer service because you're having a problem with an appliance in your house, what's the first thing they tell you to do? What's the first thing they tell you? Unplug it, plug it back in.
Troubleshoot.
I think... Right. I think sometimes I honestly believe that Blake needs a day or two where he can just step away from what's going on right now. But I do think he's a little bit in his own head because the guy that we saw a month ago is not the guy that we saw for the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's just not the same guy. I don't have a problem with the guy throwing interceptions of aggression. I really don't. I don't have a problem with that. I want a young quarterback to be willing to step back in there and say, look, I know I threw a pick, but I'm going for it on this one. I'm going for it. I think that there's a lesson to be learned for Blake Bortles that sometimes you need to make a read on going for it and say, I probably shouldn't go for it here. And when the guy wide open in front of you in the flat is there, make that play. When there's a play to be had, make that play. I think that he's getting himself in trouble sometimes, Paul, by not being willing to take what's underneath.
Tony, it's funny you said the guy wide open in the flat. Because on the interception, there was a guy wide open in the flat.
Wide open.
I mean, Allen Robinson was sitting right there. I mean, can't get no better than that. And that's where it goes back that he's thinking too much. He's thinking, maybe I need to make a play right here. And unfortunately, he threw it into 4 Bengals players and 1 Jaguar player. Well, the percentages don't weigh in our favor to come up with that ball. And unfortunately, it came up as an interception at the end of the game. So, I like I said, I'm hinging, you know, my thoughts on he's out there, he's thinking too much, he's pressing a little bit too much. He just got to relax, let the game come to him, and continue to just manage the game. I don't feel like, you know, he has to really go out there and, you know, fling it all over the place to really win. If the running game is continuing the success they had, because I feel like they was running the game, I mean, running the ball very well against a good run defense. Okay, I mean, Plecko, Carlos Dunlap, and those guys up front, Geno Atkins, I mean, these are top-notch players here. These are Pro Bowl players. Plecko and Geno Atkins have been to the Pro Bowl. I mean, Dunlap, he has played on a Pro Bowl level. So when they run the ball like that against the team, hey, stay with it. I mean, the last few weeks, Denard was getting anywhere from, you know, 20-plus carries.
Yep.
He got 17, and he got 94 yards. So, and like I said, we got to keep that going, especially when the game is close. And the game was close. And the defense did a great job of getting the turnover with the JT Thomas interception. You know what? Hey, put that ball in the man who was playing well, hands, which was D-Rob. He was the one, I feel like, on offense, if outside of Allen Hurns, was playing the best ball.
That's Paul Spicer. Thank you so much for joining me today, Paul. I'll talk to you again tonight. Time out.
Oh, yeah.
From 8 to 10 here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Paul Spicer and I will be back for that following Jaguars Monday tonight with J.P. Shadrick and Tony Baselli live from London. I think Pete Prisco going to be here stateside, as Mike Dempsey was talking about earlier on today. Jessica, thank you so much for coming in today as well.
Thank you for letting me join you.
And had fun today, guys. We're going to talk to the boys of XL Primetime, Josie Hacker and T-Wick here in just a moment. Again, thank you to Lauren Brooks producing the show today, for Paul Spicer, for Jessica Blaylock, for myself, Fat Tony, for Mike Dempsey joining us from all the way over there in London today.
England?
As well. This has been Jaguars Today on a Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.